Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Think that's the drink of choice out at the Championship Day Parade for the Bucks today. But rest assured, they are sipping and feeling good out there. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr. and Myra Metcalf, our ESPN College Hoops reporter, joining us here. You guys can all catch him hosting Sunday morning on ESPN Radio. Myron, what's going on, man?
Man, not much. Excited to do the show with you, man. I think this is our first time working together, man, so looking forward to it.
This is our first time. And Myron, you've been kind of balancing a lot today because as we've been getting prepared for the show, as we're getting ready to talk about all this stuff going on with the NFL, making it abundantly clear with dollars and cents on the line what they think needs to be done relative to the vaccine with a memo that came out today. You've been balancing trying to get ready for all of this with the show and still watching the Bucks championship parade because for anyone that forgets, you came on the show earlier in the week as our Milwaukee Bucks fan representative here. So how are you feeling today watching the parade action?
It's incredible, man, to see a parade in my city, man. Like, it just feels surreal to watch PJ Tucker and everybody celebrating. It's amazing. And, like, I'm happy for the Bucks. But I'm so happy for the city, man. Milwaukee deserves this. Underdog city, put us on the map.
But we have plenty of under and dog related content coming from PJ Tucker that we can get to in a little bit because he has been an absolute gem during this parade. We will get to that. But in the meantime, with no fees or minimums or checkings and savings accounts and an app that lets you bank anytime, anywhere, choosing Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One NA member FDIC. And Myron, we get to have all that fun in a little bit because the NFL has thrown down the gauntlet this afternoon. We have had so much conversation around the vaccine, COVID-19, and how it relates to this upcoming NFL season. The NFL put out a memo today with Roger Goodell updating everyone that as of right now, 75% of NFL players have at least one shot of the vaccine or at least partially vaccinated. And more than 50% of the teams in the league are above the 80% vaccination rate. So, honestly, Myron, my low bar for this, that was better than I expected news-wise for where we are at with the players in this league. I don't know, do those numbers stick out to you at all? Because I was a little, I was kind of pleasantly surprised on the high end for that, even though we're just starting training camp now.
Both high for me. I mean, you know, having over 50% was surprising to me. So 75%. That wasn't something I anticipated. And then more than half the teams hitting the 80% mark. But now come the rules, right? Now yes. Come the next step in all this.
Yes, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And that next step has to do with the idea of moving games around. Because remember last year, there were 5 games postponed and 10 others moved. They did a lot of schedule movement to try and fit all the games into the window that they had created. This year, in 2021, the NFL said in a memo handed down today that games will be forfeited if all of the following occur. If a government authority, medical experts, or the commissioner feel that there is a threat of concerns of an outbreak due to health and safety issues surrounding COVID-19 virus, if the league can't find a suitable date to reschedule within the 18-week framework. So there's no extended time period, no extended runway here. And if the original postponement was caused by an outbreak amongst unvaccinated players, as a result, if this were the case, if the result came from unvaccinated players causing an outbreak on the team, players from both teams would lose their game checks. In addition to that loss being attributed to the team who had the outbreak amongst unvaccinated players. So, Myron, I have to imagine that this is the first in a series of the NFL probably ramping this up, trying to make sure they're as close to 100% of the teams above that threshold as possible.
Yeah, they can't mandate anything, but this is as close as you can get. Everyone can make the vaccine political if they want. This is a business thing. At the end of the day, you got to make a business decision because if you forfeit a game, that's a game check, not just you, but also the opposing team. There will be fights, Mike. I guarantee. Like, this is a different level because now you're messing with people's money. And I think that's going to change the tone of the conversation internally in these locker rooms going forward.
Yeah, they made it abundantly clear. The memo went on to further say that if outbreaks occur among the vaccinated players on the team, the league will, quote, attempt to minimize the competitive and economic burden of both teams. So this is a clear line drawn. And Myron, I'm totally with you. That was my first reaction when we talked about this on Tuesday, looking forward towards training camp was, hey, listen, if it gets to a spot where all of a sudden I got to miss game time, like even if it wasn't a forfeited game, Myron, if I'm a vaccinated player who potentially has to miss time in practice in the preseason, if I'm a guy on the fringe, or if I'm a star and I've got to miss any real time in the season because I am given this through the contact tracing by one of the unvaccinated players on the team, that is going to create some friction here, and we've already seen response, Myron. I know a lot of people were waiting to hear from a certain wide receiver in the NFL. I don't think many thought DeAndre Hopkins was going to be the one. DeAndre Hopkins tweeted and said, "Never thought I'd say this, but being in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL." You buying any of that, Myron?
I buy none of it because it's not going to happen. DeAndre Hopkins is due, I think, $10 million this year. It's easy to feel a certain way now, but he's just not going to give up that money. And I'm sure he's not the only one, Mike, who feels that way. There are a lot of people who probably feel like the NFL is forcing us to get the vaccine if they're unvaccinated. But I think these guys are going to realize if you don't do it, you're messing with your money. DeAndre Hopkins is not going to mess with his money.
No, and that's what this keeps coming back to is it's weird, Myron, that we even have to make this about a football decision, right? The fact that nowhere in this is like, yeah, you know, just for your health and safety and the health and safety of those around you, like we've waved bye-bye to that. It's, no, this is going to be a problem for your team. In addition to all the isolation, like, Myron, I look at this and say, we even see some of this at the college level. I saw today Boston College announced that they were mandating all coaches and players be vaccinated. They had one player who balked at that, and they helped him transfer to another school. They said, we will make this as easy on you as possible. That team was the first last season to opt out of the bowl season. They were eligible, and they said no. And Jeff Hafley, their head coach, cited and said, this process has been exhausting for our players, and them getting to go be home and be with their families for a little bit after a season where they were so locked away and going through so many hoops to make it happen, they felt that time was better suited for rest. They are all ready to go here because, Myron, I have a feeling for a lot of these coaches and teams, and I don't know why this isn't more prevalent amongst the players who are unvaccinated. Don't they remember how last year went, how difficult everything they had to do was? And I have a feeling that's going to only become more apparent as we get back into training camp and they see how the other half lives.
Yeah, it's just going to be a different deal. Like, you're not going to be playing by the same rules, travel restrictions, wearing a mask, all those things. If you want the freedom, what the NFL is basically saying is you have to get vaccinated. But I also think like this is going to be taken care of in-house in a lot of situations. There are going to be veterans on this team who are going to let everybody else know that this is the way to go, right? You're going to put us in a situation where not only might we lose a game check, Mike, you forfeit a game, that's a loss. Maybe you don't get in the playoffs as a result of that. Remember how close we were the last week of the year where a number of teams had to win to get in. If that loss costs you a playoff bid, that's a whole nother conversation. So I think a lot of people in the locker room, they'll deal with this and have this conversation to encourage everybody to follow these rules.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So again, the NFL teams facing potential forfeits and fines if unvaccinated players are the source of a COVID-19 outbreak going into this 2021 season. Myron, there is part of me that wishes we could get information on vaccination relative to lined, you know, drawing the line through players that have made it to a second contract and players who are just trying to make it. Because it'd be very curious to see how many of those fringe roster guys are willing to risk their spot based on this idea of wanting to stick to their guns on this one. So there's going to be a lot of tentacles to this that we can certainly get into. It's complicated because everything around sports seems to be coming up right now, which is what gets us to what we have coming up next here. Oklahoma and Texas chose violence today. We will tell you what the source of all this is and what might go down in an important meeting later this afternoon next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Myron Metcalf sitting in for Janae Gwimake today here on ESPN Radio. And Myron, we got a little bit of anarchy introduced into the day yesterday. Oklahoma and Texas in the world of college athletics decided to raise a little bit of hell, according to sources telling the Houston Chronicle. The two schools had reached out to the SEC about potentially joining that conference. And as we look at this now, Myron, do you think this is something feasible? Like, do you think this actually happens? How bought into are you to this?
Oh, I think it's happening just because I don't think it gets leaked unless the conversations are advanced. And at this point, you know, Texas and Oklahoma are basically saying, we don't want to be here. You know, we want to go to greener pastures. And I just don't know how you come back from that. But I think when news like this comes out, Mike, it's clear that these conversations didn't happen yesterday. They've been ongoing. And that's why I think it's a real thing.
Yeah, the conversation's going to continue going, according to Heather Dinich, our ESPN college football reporter, who will join us at 6:15 Eastern. The I believe it's the Big 12 ADs and CEOs have a meeting scheduled for 5 p.m. Central. So I feel like some people probably knew this conversation was going on, but a few more people need to get caught up to speed in all of this, Myron. And I think where this leads to for a lot of people is this idea of major conference realignment in college football. Teams starting to congregate in these big, large, massive groups here. And Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show on the SEC Network, talked about where he believes we're heading on this road.
You know, the ACC, I think, will pick somebody off. The Pac-12 will have to. The Big Ten will have to go shopping. And I think we're going to see another wild, wild west gold rush here in college football. And you'll basically see a bunch of super teams. And you know, the SEC at 16, I'm not sure it stops there. You know, we just may end up with three super conferences. And your only relevance now is, you know, being in one of those and getting in the college football playoff.
And Myron, I look and I see, because we've talked about this forever, like I feel like this has been like the great white buffalo for college football media for so long, is this idea of these big 16-plus team super conferences congregating in all these different spots, it changing the landscape of college football forever. And I don't know if I'm ready to go fully down that road, but I can say as far as ramifications for this, Big 12 be dead as doornail. Like, that thing's gone if these two leave. And I think that's, to me, the only reason I can come up with, Myron, for why Oklahoma and Texas appear to be doing this in lockstep, because that, to me, is the most confusing part.
Yeah, I mean, competitively, you don't know what sort of advantages they gain. It's only going to get tougher playing in the SEC. But it's all about money. I mean, the SEC signed a TV deal in 2008 for $2 billion. And I think their most recent deal with ESPN is for $3 billion. You had Texas and Oklahoma, it goes up from there. So I think the financial component is obviously a big factor. But you're right. The Big 12 is done. And if I'm Iowa State or Oklahoma State, I'm on the phone right now calling everybody, Pac-12, Big 10, hopefully that they might listen if you have a chance to join them as well. But I just think the Big 12 is done as a power conference if they lose Texas and Oklahoma. And by the way, Mike, that's going to be a very awkward meeting today, by the way, with all the ADs and the CEOs and Texas and Oklahoma sitting there having to explain all of this stuff that happened in the last 24 hours.
Oh, it's going to be incredibly uncomfortable. And we've seen that stoked a little bit by the Texas social media department, because we've heard a lot of back and forth in this, Myron, from people like Texas A&M, their athletic director, Ross Bjork, who came out and basically maintained that they wanted to be the only team from Texas in the SEC. So you've got all of this discomfort that's starting to well up in here. And Myron, we look at this, and you mentioned it's all about the money, because we can all look at this and have a good chuckle going, what the hell does Texas think they're going to do inside of the SEC? Competitively, that doesn't seem like a place they're going to want to go. Ohio, you know, Oklahoma has at least been a part of college football's elite during the college football playoff era, really during the, you know, from the 2000s on in all this. But Brent Zwerneman here, who was the reporter at the Houston Chronicle who broke this story, was on with Paul Feinbaum and talked about why Texas would want this.
With it out in the public and there not being any flat denials from anyone with the SEC, from anyone from Texas or Oklahoma, I think Texas is just looking ahead at everything that's going on, the NIL, the expanded playoffs, all of those things, the payout that A&M is now getting compared to what they got in the Big 12, putting it all together and saying that they would like to be a part of that. And the SEC is thinking forward in terms of saying we want to be the first 16-team conference as well in terms of the super conferences.
Janan Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Gold Jr. and Myron Metcalf. And Myron, it is kind of funny in this because Texas realized they caused a lot of these problems, right? Like the last time we had these conversations about realignment and the last time when they broke off and formed the Longhorn Network, like if they're looking for why the Big 12 has been a little bit less valuable in some areas, might that not be a good place to start?
Yeah, I mean, Texas always seems to have its bags packed, yeah, threatening to leave. And that's not good for anybody involved. It doesn't fuel stability. And now you have this move where they're saying again, hey, we may go. I just wonder, Mike, ultimately, what do they think they gain beyond the money? I mean, money is the big thing, but this doesn't seem to help Texas. They're not going to be Alabama and LSU. They're going to struggle the way that they are in the Big 12. But to do that and to decimate the Big 12, it's just a huge move by them.
Yeah, I think what we heard there from Brent, this idea of everyone looking forward and not wanting to get left holding the bag. Like, if Texas looked like they're always ready to go, it's maybe because the Big 12, at the beginning of the college football playoff life cycle, looked around when TCU got leapfrogged in that final weekend by Ohio State, who eventually ended up going on to win, and went, oh, damn. Now, I know a lot of that was solved by having a conference championship game, all making these moves, but it kind of showed you where you were relative to the rest of the table playing this game. And there might be a thought of, if it's eventually going to go this way, if things are going to start to get consolidated, we better make sure we're in a position to protect ourselves. Who knows how it works out? Who knows what comes next? But we know there are going to be ramifications felt very quickly if Texas and Oklahoma manage to make this jump to the SEC. But coming up next, anytime I think Texas and college football, I think Bomani Jones here, someone who is very well familiar with that program. And what might affect this move outside of just the money, outside of just the football? Let's get a little bit political here. We'll do that after this word from Indeed. Now, the reasons to find your next hire with Indeed are starting to add up. Just look at the numbers. Instant Match searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver candidates who are going to have resumes fit in your job description. They have 135 skills tests that go beyond just the resume, help you find the right candidates even faster. And according to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined. So if you want to multiply your employees and subtract the hassles of finding them, visit Indeed.com/credit. Back after this, Jhené Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Jhené Ngola Jr., the podcast.
It's a celebration. We'll get to popping bottles for the Milwaukee Bucks and the best sound from the parade this afternoon, bar none. PJ Tucker putting on an absolute show. It's Jhené Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Myron Metcalf sitting in for Jhené Ngola today. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings account and an app that lets you bank anytime, anywhere, choosing Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. And we were just talking about what's going on with Oklahoma and Texas. Two teams from the Big 12, the two powers of the Big 12, at least brand-wise, with Texas involved, threatening and reaching out to the SEC, asking and inquiring about moving over to that conference. And with all the tentacles coming from this, anytime I think Texas and football, I think Bomani Jones. You can catch Hosting the Right Time with Bomani Jones wherever you get your podcast. Bo, what's going on?
All good, man. How are you guys?
I'm doing good, Bo, and I'm curious for you. You obviously are very familiar with Texas, the program, the college football in general here. What was your first reaction when you heard that these schools had apparently reached out to the SEC about this?
Well, my first thought was who reported that this was happening, and it was not someone who covers the University of Texas or someone who covers Oklahoma. It was someone who covers Texas A&M. So when I hear this, my first thought is, oh, Aggie not going to like this at all. And what do you know? Aggie doesn't like it at all. The AD at Texas A&M said they want to be the only Texas school in the SEC. And they said that they left because they wanted to have their own identity. And I'm like, if somebody else showing up means you don't have an identity anymore, then baby, you ain't got no identity. Like, that was number one. Number two, this would mean the death of the Big 12. There's no way the Big 12 could survive without Texas. And when people talk about the level of sway they have, yeah, they have it. Like, you ever looked at the census? That's a reason why they have it. Now, for Oklahoma, they would make SEC football better, certainly. But if you are an SEC member school, like, bringing in another beast is not something that you necessarily want to do. But if you're Oklahoma, you can't get left stuck with the Big 12. Because if you do this, if Texas goes, yeah, you got Texas. I mean, TCU will still be there. Baylor will still be there. Texas Tech will still be there. Percentage-wise, it's not that many people who care. Like, the Big 12 would just have the worst real estate in college football, and you can't have that.
Bo, obviously, with Texas A&M saying, you know, that they want to protect their standing as the one Texas school in the SEC, how realistic is that, do you think, going forward, that they'll be able to prevent this from happening?
They won't be able to prevent it. It may not happen, but it ain't going to be because they managed to prevent this. They need 11 out of 14 athletic directors to say that this is something for them to do. And I got to say, if you're Texas, like, it's kind of embarrassing, the idea that the rest of these schools are like, yeah, fine, we play you. Yeah, we'll love to play you guys every year. Like, that's a great testament to what's happened to you and your college football program. But they are just worth so much money just the sheer numbers of people who are interested. They are worth so much money. So I think that if Texas wants this to be done, the SEC will ultimately take them.
Jhené Engle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're talking to Bomani Jones, host of The Right Time, Bomani Jones, wherever you get your podcast. Bo, why now? What do you think is the driving force behind this report coming out when it has?
That I don't really have an explanation for. I can't quite figure out what the timing of this is or what would push those two schools to make the decision that this is the thing that they want to do, especially the Oklahoma concern is there's no way in the world they're going to be able to go without bringing Oklahoma State with them. And I don't know why the SEC will want Oklahoma State. I mean, I have no answer for what that's going to be, but that's going to be the hard part to push through is through the state legislature. So I'm wondering if this is it that, or are Texas and Oklahoma somehow trying to swing a stick and get some more power within the Big 12, get some more money from the Big 12? Like, but why now is for me the most ambiguous question.
Bomani, you said that the Big 12 is probably dead after this if Texas and Oklahoma can make the move. What do you think the collegiate landscape looks like a decade from now?
I have absolutely no idea, and I can't feel like anybody does. Like, I've heard people talk about this idea of there being 20-team conferences, but for whatever it's worth, we have seen a 20-team conference before. I believe it was Conference USA that did the 20-team experiment at one point. It is a horrible idea because it stops being a conference. Like, it basically becomes being a quadrant or like a quartile of the country. But that seems, if you were to look at the landscape now, that's what it would look like we were heading toward. But I can't comfortably say that I know what this is going to be. I do know this, though. If we are in a world now where people can find ways to throw money at players, and you talk about moving Texas into the SEC, this is the day that they have dreamed of. Nobody got more money behind them. Like, Texas will look like an SEC school really quick after that first year while they getting their brains beat in by the SEC West.
It's going to be really interesting in that portion of things. Bo, do you think any of this affects the conversation around playoff expansion? Like, does one of these happen without the other if we're talking about it?
No, I think playoff expansion is its own independent decision just about when the schools decide that they want the money. Now, I think the playoff expansion is actually a horrible idea because you just don't have enough schools that are good enough to make this happen. And it's not going to feel like March Madness because you're not going to have your so-called Cinderellas aren't going to be so far down enough to make it truly compelling that they make the jump up. That's not going to happen. It's just an undue stress on the bodies of the players and everything else. So, no, I think that the playoff thing will be, and I think they're going to expand it no matter what happens here.
Going to be really interesting to follow all this. A lot of change around the world of college football. Check out The Right Time with Bomani Jones wherever you get your podcast. Bo, we appreciate the time as always, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, man. One quick point, though, because I always want to make this point. As always, the biggest loser of such a realignment would be Kansas basketball. Y'all so good, and don't nobody want you.
A parting shot from Bomani Jones here. You get those on Outside the Lines and apparently on Jhené Engle Jr. Thanks, Bo.
All right, man. You guys be good.
That is true. Myron, in all of this, we probably don't spend enough time talking about what the hell happens to all the other sports. It's a good reminder of what actually governs all the decisions in college sports for the most part.
Yeah, everything is football. Now, I'm guessing Bill Self is maybe making some phone calls, but I don't know if that's going to help Kansas in the realignment conversation.
Yeah, probably not a whole lot because, man, to talk about a school that is a one-trick pony there, because on the other side here, Lance Leipold, I have, you know, a lot of respect for. He did a great job in Buffalo, but that job is an uphill battle right now on the football side. So God help him and everyone else in there. But, Myron, I think the point Bomani brought up, too, that we have to get in later, we heard this from Dabo Swinney also, was how this correlates with the playoff expansion. Because I firmly believe that none of this happens or is even talked about unless Oklahoma and Texas are sure as hell that this is going to a 12-team playoff.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that was sort of the first move. And now you go to a supersized SEC. All of the conference champions, the top six, are going to get in. But then it's those at-large teams. And I think a lot of people suspected that the SEC could get an extra 2, 3, 4, 5 teams in. And you add Texas and Oklahoma, and I think that increases those odds.
Myron, where are you at in the 12-team playoff overall?
Give me more football. I watch every game. I mean, to me, I cover the NCAA tournament. And, you know, a lot of people maybe don't like that there are that many teams there, but it's just great entertainment, which is what sports should be. I don't care if the games are that competitive in those early rounds or if a team can't beat Alabama. Just give me more opportunities. Give teams more opportunities to compete. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, it's going to be that interesting line. And again, I know this won't be factored into the decision at all because they don't actually care. But it will be interesting at what point we look at this and say, all right, how much stress, like Bomani mentioned, is too much on the bodies of players that are young men in this, not quite yet pros who have spent their entire years building their bodies up for a professional game that they play, and in a sport where they're also still not getting paid to the level to be adding games like that. Like, there's no union to protect these guys when these decisions get made here. We know who this benefits in all this. I just wonder if at any point we reach a breaking point with that. I'm guessing the answer is no.
Yeah, I don't think we will. I think they'll keep going.
Yeah, that seems to be the way that this all works, which, you know, we understand the game at this point. I could sit here and talk about it till I'm blue in the face, but what you said is going to be the truth. People will always look for more football, and with this 12-team expansion model, it's going to open up for more things being possible like this, where a team's not afraid to jump because multiple entries from a conference, especially one like the SEC, probably going to be more likely than not. So we'll get back to plenty more on that here. We'll talk to Heather Dinich later in the show as well, as we got a meeting among the the Big 12 ADs and CEOs coming up at 5 o'clock Central. But coming up next, Giannis Antetokounmpo's championship for the Milwaukee Bucks. No doubt huge for the city, but did it have ramifications, big time ramifications on the home front for one of the biggest stars in that state? We'll get to that next. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll get to some celebration here in a second. But, Myron, you and I have been watching this afternoon as we got some players led by DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, tweeting through it when it comes to the NFL's memo sent down this afternoon about the updated policies surrounding COVID-19. Essentially, games have the potential to be forfeited based on if it comes from outbreaks of unvaccinated players on certain rosters, potentially lost game check, and losses in the column, Myron, and it seems like some people are not quite enjoying this.
Yeah, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins being one of them. And I think these public conversations, people are going to tweet. They're going to say things to the media. But I just think a lot of these conversations are going to happen behind closed doors between veterans and the rest of their team who are going to stress, don't mess up my money.
No, exactly. And I think we're still going to have some guys who stand by what they're saying and don't end up getting the vaccine. And Myron, all the policies really around this, from the process they're going to have to go through to get into the building, it's just going to be like, hey, you're in your bubble of 2020, where you got to go about the process that way, because we have got to protect you and everyone else in this building from this for the NFL, so they can keep on going and cashing these checks. Like, we know that's what's at the top of all this, but there is that health and safety aspect still for the more vulnerable around the building. So I know DeAndre Hopkins tweeted freedom with a question mark, like this is robbing him of that, but really it's just saying, hey, if you want to operate by last year's software, we have to run that with you. And if you are a person with the vaccine, then we can talk about different rules. To me, I likened it to wanting to get credit for a class project, a group project that you showed up the day of the presentation for.
That sounds about right. And to me, it's always fun and convincing when somebody tweets freedom from a mansion, right? Like, at the end of the day, I mean, come on, you have a lot going for you. You're about to get $10 million. You're not going to give that up. I think the challenge is, though, Mike, this may encourage other people. If there are other people who are on the fence about getting the vaccine, DeAndre Hopkins saying this is not going to help them, right? It's going to maybe make them think, hey, maybe I won't be vaccinated either. So it's a business thing, and that's how everybody should be looking at it in the NFL.
Yeah, this is exactly the opposite of what the league office was looking for when they sent out this memo today, but that is where we are. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Let's shift back to something that's got a little bit more joy involved in it, because, Myron, you are a Milwaukee Bucks fan, so how are you feeling today, like, watching a championship parade go through the city of Milwaukee for this Bucks team after such a long hiatus?
It's just surreal to see, man, to see P.J. Tucker and Giannis and everybody going through the city I love and celebrating the first championship in 50 years. It's just amazing. Like, it seemed impossible, like, 4 or 5 years ago. So I'm just trying to digest it, man, and take it all in. I'm just happy for the city. Milwaukee deserves it.
How is Milwaukee done, by the way? Because we had this conversation with Cleveland when they won the championship with LeBron James when he came back. The parade route, all the mechanics involved, it was like, all right, they were flexing muscles they hadn't flexed in a while here. And I already saw Marcus Johnson, who was on the show with us, TV voice of the Milwaukee Bucks, former NBA All-Star, out there shirtless on his J.R. Smith life. So have they been able to do this well? They dust off the cobwebs all right?
They're figuring it out. This is new for us. You know, we don't really have a manual. You know, first time in 50 years. I don't even know if they did parades 50 years ago. So I think people are figuring it out as they go along. But it's just fun to watch everybody excited, man, about what just happened.
Now, we do have PJ Tucker very excited. This is probably the best sound from the parade today that we got from the Buck star.
You know, it's crazy. That's what everybody, like, when I came here, they're like, yo, you got to, like, show, like, you got to be the dog. And I'm like, man, we got dogs. Like, they just say, like, we... Like, I got here, like, we already got dogs. They just don't know how to be dogs, and we gonna be dogs. And our dogs is crazy. We got dogs, you hear me? Milwaukee, we dogs!
Breaking news, Myron. Milwaukee's got dogs.
Yes, they do. Where they at? Oh, man. Oh, that was great.
God. PJ Tucker setting a hell of a tone out there. If you're not ready to run through a wall or drink a bottle of Ace of Spades after that, I don't know if what's wrong with you.
It all hit him right there, too, when he grabbed the mic.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like, he was okay until he grabbed the mic, and then it all just happened at once, man. We've been there. We've all been there, Mike. Right?
Oh, we've all been there. Usually, it's not grabbing the mic. Usually, for me, it's like when I go in the bathroom and catch the sight of myself in the mirror, where all of a sudden, it's okay. We've had a few too many, brother. We need to probably dial it back or mix in a water. But, Myron, in addition to all the celebrating going on, you brought up something earlier today that I thought was super interesting, a kind of change happening around Milwaukee, around two fan bases, because Giannis's championship, do you think, is having a direct impact on Green Bay's other big-time star? We've got Aaron Rodgers over in sad Wisconsin. We've got Giannis in happy Wisconsin here. Do you think one is starting to affect the way that we perceive the other?
Yeah, I mean, from the people I know in Milwaukee and the Bucks fans I've talked to, I think that Giannis has sort of filled the void. Aaron Rodgers hasn't really been connected to the team. A lot of rumors as to whether or not he'll be around. And I think there are a lot of fans, Packers fans, still hanging out, hanging on to hope. But I think there are a lot of frustrated fans as well who are like, man, just make a decision. Are you staying or going? Meanwhile, you got Giannis with all this personality, winning a championship, 50 points. I think Giannis has become the athlete among Wisconsin sports fans over Aaron Rodgers with this championship. Like, I think a lot of people I know who are like, we can't lose Aaron Rodgers, are now sort of like, you know what? If he wants to go, let him go. Because they feel like Aaron Rodgers is saying, you know what? Wisconsin isn't good enough for me, whereas Giannis is saying, I love it here. So I think Giannis has gone above Aaron Rodgers in that conversation.
You know what's interesting is I feel like Rodgers, it's never been about Wisconsin. Now, I know a lot of people have brought up Shailene Woodley in that regard, but Rodgers even took this opportunity. They had a tweet from Aaron Rodgers that said, incredible job by Wes and Mark. Peter, John Horst, our GM, made some incredible moves, and our players played like stars. Can't stop 34. Now, Myron, I know he's a partial owner, I believe, yeah, of this team, but mentioning all those people by name just continues to point the thing back at the Green Bay front office like he has time and time in all of this. So I can understand it, but it seems like something, a feeling that might wane a little bit by week five if all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers isn't out there and the team's no good.
If Aaron Rodgers is out there next week at training camp, it might wane, right? I mean, I think a lot of this is Giannis got to enjoy it while he can. But if Aaron Rodgers is back and he's excited and they look like a team that could win the Super Bowl, I think a lot of this will change in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I think a lot of it can change quick. But in general, Marcus, I agree with the premise. Like, I always said this in college when we had players that talked about wanting to transfer. That's fine. If you don't want to be here, I don't want to make you feel like you've got to stay here. We'll play with who's here. We'll work with what's there. It just feels a lot better when you can say that as a Milwaukee fan with a guy that just hoisted the Larry O'Brien and the Finals MVP trophy. So Giannis Antetokounmpo making life a little bit easier, which is good. It's been a stressful summer for Milwaukee. So I'm certainly glad on the sports front here that Giannis can alleviate some of that stress that's been going on with his friend Aaron Rodgers over at the Packers. Coming up next, though, lots of stress in Big 12 country. We'll check in on Texas and Oklahoma and find out just how far the impact can go here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.